JC Corcoran Podcast.
The Ten Commandments. Here's my problem. Why are there ten? I'm going to show you how you could reduce the number of commandments and come up with a list that's a little more workable and logical. We're going to start with the first three, and I'll use the Roman Catholic version because those are the ones I was taught as a little boy. I am the Lord thy God. Thou shalt not have strange gods before me. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Thou shalt keep holy the Sabbath. Right off the bat, the first three, pure bull. Sabbath day, Lord's name, strange gods, spooky language. Spooky language. Designed to scare and control primitive people. In no way does superstitious nonsense like this apply to the lives of intelligent, civilized humans in the 21st century. You throw out the first three commandments, whoosh, you're down to seven. Next, honor thy father and mother. Obedience, respect for authority. Just another name for controlling people. The truth is, obedience and respect should not be automatic. They should be earned. They should be based on the parents' performance. Parents' performance. Right? Some parents deserve respect. Most of them don't. Period. You're down to six. Now, in the interest of logic, something religion is very uncomfortable with, we're going to jump around the list a little bit. Thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness. Stealing and lying. Well, actually, these two both prohibit the same kind of behavior. Dishonesty, stealing, and lying. So you don't need two of them. Instead, you combine them and you call it thou shalt not be dishonest. And suddenly, you're down to five. And as long as we're combining, I have two others that belong together. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. Once again, these two prohibit the same kind of behavior. In this case, marital infidelity. The difference is coveting takes place in the mind. And I don't think you should outlaw fantasizing about someone else's wife. Otherwise, what's a guy going to think about when he's waxing his carrot? But marital fidelity is a good idea, so we're going to keep the idea and call this one, thou shalt not be unfaithful. And suddenly, we're down to four. But when you think about it, honesty and fidelity are really part of the same overall value. So in truth, you could combine the two honesty commandments with the two fidelity commandments and give them simpler language, positive language instead of negative, and call the whole thing, thou shalt always be honest and faithful, and we're down to three. Thou shalt, they're going away fast. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's goods. This one is just plain stupid. Coveting your neighbor's goods is what keeps the economy going. Am I right? Your neighbor gets a vibrator that plays "Oh, all ye faithful." You want to get one too. Coveting creates jobs. Leave it alone. You throw out coveting and you're down to two now, the big honesty and fidelity commandment, and the one we haven't talked about yet, thou shalt not kill. Murder. The fifth commandment. But when you think about it, religion has never really had a big problem with murder. Not really. More people have been killed in the name of God than for any other reason. All you have to do... All you have to do is look at Northern Ireland, the Middle East, Kashmir, the Inquisition, the Crusades, and the World Trade Center to see how seriously the religious folks take thou shalt not kill. The more devout they are, the more they see murder as being negotiable. It's negotiable. You know? It depends. It depends on who's doing the killing and who's getting killed. So, with all of this in mind, I leave you with my revised list of the two commandments. Thou shalt always be honest and faithful to the provider of thy nookie. And thou shalt try real hard not to kill anyone, unless, of course, they pray to a different invisible man from the one you pray to. Two is all you need. Moses could have carried him down the hill in his fucking pocket. And if they had a list like that, I wouldn't mind those folks in Alabama putting it up on the courthouse wall. As long as they included one additional commandment, thou shalt keep thy religion to thyself.
No, I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous. Don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest is jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over.
And it's Monday, March 7th, 2022, 253 days remaining in our American democratic system as we have known it. I'm JC. How you doing, kids? Crappy looking morning in St. Louis today, but still your day probably starting a little better than mine. We used to have this woman on the air all the time, Rosemary Watts, the dream lady, all right? So she would come on and interpret dreams, and I will tell you that the phone lines would go crazy. I mean, just, I think we had five lines coming into the station back in those days, and all five lines just ringing nonstop. You'd answer one, she'd analyze the dream, you'd go to the next call, that other line just lit up immediately. People loved having their dreams analyzed. And then after a couple of years of this, we sort of looked at each other in the office one day and went, you know, this is fucking ridiculous. You can't analyze dreams. I mean, I think you can to a certain extent, but you can't say, well, I had a dream about a car, and therefore that means that according to the official dream analysis, and apparently there were like books on this and everything, it was like, okay, that means that you, I don't know, have unrealized potential or some silliness like that. We just stopped having around because it just dawned on us, what the hell are we doing? And there were further developments about the dream lady later on that I'm not going to get into here today. The reason I mention that is because I remember there was this thing that you talked about, which made sense, by the way, called auditory dreams. Auditory dreams. What I do generally is fall asleep watching TV. And especially back then, I was still single, and so that was every night. And what would happen sometimes is I'd be dreaming, and the dream was interacting with the sound from the TV. So if I was having a dream about a tornado, and I used to have a lot of tornado dreams back then. Oh my, I'd have five or six a month, these tornadoes. And sometimes I'd look out and there'd be like 30 or 50 funnel clouds out on the horizon. They're always, and then also, there were tornadoes sometimes that came like right past me. And it was almost like I could reach out and touch it. And the analysis of that dream was that when you dream about tornadoes, you believe that your life is just like a scattered mess. Because when a tornado goes through, what does it do? It turns everything into a scattered mess. And by the way, the tornado never hurt me. You know, I was never injured, never suffered property damage. It was almost like these tornadoes were letting me observe them. Not any more ridiculous than any other dream you have. But in this particular case, the TV would be on, I'd be completely sound asleep and dreaming, but then I would wake up in the middle of the night, TV would be on, I'd look at the screen and realize that I had been dreaming in a way about what I was hearing from the movie that was on TV. So in other words, if I'd be having a tornado dream, now if the TV was on and a Sandra Bullock movie was on, I would wake up realizing that I had been dreaming about the tornado, but Sandra Bullock was with me, or something like that. Got really weird there for a while. So that didn't exactly happen this morning, but something close to it. So I was dreaming. I was in the middle of a dream. I was at Plaza Frontenac, and there was nobody else around, and I was coming up some concrete stairs to go into a building at Plaza Frontenac. It wasn't exactly at the mall itself. It was in one of the buildings around Plaza Frontenac. And when I came up the concrete stairs to go into the building, John Hamm was sitting at a table outside by himself, and I just said, hi John, how you doing? And he just sort of nodded at me. As I'm walking into the building, I cannot get the alarm on my phone to go off. The thing is just going and going, and I'm punching every button on the phone. This is in the dream. I'm punching every button on the phone to try to, I'm like, why won't this alarm stop ringing? I can't turn the darn thing off. And then I realized the alarm on my phone was actually going off to wake me up. So in the dream, I was dreaming that my phone alarm was going off, but it was really going off, and it incorporated itself right into the dream. That's an interesting story about John Hamm, too, because, you know, I watched his career rise like anybody else, and one day a couple of years ago, there's a newspaper article, and they're interviewing him, and he says, oh, yeah, I was a big fan of J.C. Corcoran and the Mets are pond scum thing. And I'm like, what? I actually have that on my wall here. So I guess it was about 4 years ago, John Hamm was doing an appearance at the the county library right on Lindbergh, right across from Plaza Frontenac, as a matter of fact. And he's going to be doing a big appearance on Saturday afternoon. And they announced the date, and I'm like, oh, shit, that's the weekend of the Cub-Cardinal weekend in Chicago. I won't be in St. Louis for that. So I figured, all right, here's what I'm going to do. So I made up a little package, put it in a nice envelope, and I put a Mets or Pond Scum t-shirt in there, which are difficult to find these days. Put a copy of my book, some other things, and I wrote him a handwritten message with some personal things that I wrote to him. And I took it over to the library a couple of days before the appearance. I think I actually dropped it off on my way to Chicago for the Cubs-Cardinal weekend. And I just said, it's a long story, just if you just give this to John when he arrives, trust me, it'll all make sense. Thank you very much. Well, I never heard a word from him. Never. Because I had put in there contact stuff, email, phone number, all that stuff. Never heard a word. Which tells me, based on what I gave him and based on the story that I just told you, they never gave it to him. Probably sitting in a drawer somewhere there in the library. So I still, after all these years, have not had a moment with John Hamm. Never met him. Never talked to him. I think I'll live. And he's best friends with Joe Buck, and Joe Buck and I used to be very good pals, but we haven't talked to each other in like 8 years because he hates me now. It's a long story. Like I said, I think I'll live. All right, looking up at the TV screens, we have breaking news. The breaking news is that there's a war going on in Ukraine. Thank you very much. This is why people get mad at the TV news operations, because, you know, you wake up in the morning, you turn on the TV, and breaking news. Oh, really? What? The same thing we told you before you went to bed last night. They're just completely misusing that. The war between Channel 5 and Channel 4, this was probably about, I would say 12 years ago, maybe 15. Obviously, the research that television stations do produced information that coincides with what I just told you. People are like, these TV stations are always saying breaking news just to get your attention. It's never breaking news, and we hate that. So Channel 5 gets a hold of that information, and they say, this is in their promos, we'll never call something breaking news when it's not. But then they turned right around and started using a graphic and a moniker, developing story. And they used developing story the same way Channel 4 was using breaking news. So it's like Channel 5 was saying, we'll never use the term breaking news when it's not. No, we'll just substitute it with developing story and do exactly the same fucking thing. I don't think people are that stupid. Or are they? There's only a small handful of people using the term and describing what's going on in Ukraine right now as the beginning of World War III. The people who are using that term are a couple of the most highly respected journalists, researchers, and government officials. And that's what scares me. Because any politician can just get up on the screen and just yak away, and it doesn't mean anything. But when these people who really know where all the bodies are buried, I'm using that term figuratively, when those people start saying it, that's what gets my attention. And I'm afraid that when we look back at this and historians write the story of what's happening right now in Ukraine, they're going to probably go back and say, yeah, World War III started in late February of 2022. We're in World War III right now. They might not be calling it that, but everything is lining up that way. And they can say all they want. They can say all they want about the fact that we're not going to be fighting this war and we're not going to fight Russia in a world war. Putin has skated so far off the edge of the earth lately. He doesn't care. He doesn't care about anything. Clearly, when you're bombing residential areas, there was a story they did the other day where they bombed a hospice for kids. Little kids who have terminal illnesses and aren't going to be around that much longer. The bomb hit their place and they had to evacuate all of them and try to get them out of harm's way. When you're bombing children's hospices, that's probably your first indication that the guy who's launching the missiles really doesn't give a fuck. And so if he'll do that, why won't he do anything else that's so atrocious that people can't believe he actually did it? But that's, you're looking right at it, but that's the whole thing. Take whatever atrocious thing you figure that no normal human being could ever do, like bomb a hospice for kids, and say, well, he would never do that. Nobody would ever do that. Well, he's doing it already. So if he'll do that, he'll do all this other stuff too. And he wants us to believe he'll use nukes. It's a very effective intimidation factor right there. He's dumb, but he's not stupid. So now you throw in the gas prices and you're wondering how people are going to handle things. Here's what I would do if I was the president. And as I said, on this podcast, I always say we only do politics when it's absolutely unavoidable. And this morning is one of those days. So here's what I would do if I was Joe Biden. I'm serious about this, by the way. I'd call a news conference in prime time and I'd say, all right, we're faced with that proverbial fork in the road and I'm supposed to be your leader, but we live in bizarre times. So here's what I'm doing. We are going to be conducting several national polls. They're going to be done by completely impartial polling organizations that don't have a dog in the fight. They're completely nonpartisan, but you're going to be asked a question in the poll. And the poll is, we believe that we can really bring Putin to his knees if we stop importing all of the gas and the oil from Russia. Now, what that's going to do is that's going to raise gasoline prices even higher. They could go $7, $8 a gallon. But everybody seems to be on the right side of this fight in America. Almost everybody, except for a couple of goons at Fox News and some other goons on the internet. But everybody is like, yeah, go Ukraine. We're behind you all the way. All right, here's the time to walk the walk in addition to talking the talk. So here's the poll question. Are you behind Ukraine enough so that if I say, hey, Vladimir, we are really shutting your ass down now. You think the sanctions up until now were tough? The fact that Visa and MasterCard shut things down, that we're blocking your access to the banks? Well, now we're going to sucker punch you and kick you in the balls at the same time. No more gas, no more oil. Sell it to your friends in China if you want, because we ain't buying it. European Union's not buying it. America's not. We got allies. Everybody's together, and we are shutting. We're just turning the spigot off. So that's your poll question. You're going to be asked, would you be willing for a period of time to pay $7, $8 for gas if it meant that this move on our part might be the one thing that would actually shut Putin down? Are you willing to do it? And then see what the poll results are, and then do whatever they say. But these cheap shot artists that have spent the last year or so complaining about Joe Biden and the gas prices, these are idiots who don't know, or they're just bad people who know that the information isn't correct, but they just want to put points up on the board for their side and blame this on the president. Well, not Joe Biden, not any president can control gasoline prices. And there are people who will pick at that and say, well, that's not true because if they just No. Outside of a couple of cents here or there, this president, any president, doesn't set gasoline prices. These problems are worldwide, by the way. These increases are going on everywhere. So how can it be the president of the United States having anything to do with the price of gas? But nobody's telling the truth. Very few people telling the truth. Like I said, it's just the war in this country is about how many points can we put up on the board for our side to make our side look good, even if what we're saying is complete unadulterated bullshit. But we actually have some good news, if you believe what was reported on 60 Minutes last night, which is that for all intents and purposes, the pandemic is at a manageable rate right now. In other words, the coronavirus is still out there. But the cases have dwindled to such a level that it's going to be something now that we're going to have to live with. And they'll probably be almost like a yearly vaccine, much like the vaccine you get for the flu right now. It'll just incorporate all of that stuff. And right now, you know, they're like, do you see one of these variants developing as you're looking at your computer screens here? Because we were told once before, as you'll recall, that, yeah, you can take your masks off. It looks like we're okay. And then a couple of months later, it's like, no, put the mask back on. Well, nobody saw the new variant coming. Nobody saw it because you couldn't see it because it wasn't there yet. And that's when people started to really get pissed off. But they asked the scientists, the top-level people who do this stuff, do you see anything coming? And they're like, no, actually, we don't. So is it over? No. But is it over? Yes. Go ahead, pick that apart. I have been raving, just absolutely raving about this guy on Saturday Night Live. His name is James Austin Johnson, and he's one of the new cast members on Saturday Night Live. And it's one thing to do impressions. It's another thing to sound so hauntingly identical to the person you're imitating, to the point where you don't just have the voice, but you have the mannerisms, but you have every subtlety, every little gesture, every little mannerism. And then as far as the voice is concerned, all those goofy little attachments that Trump always puts on to the things that he's saying. James Austin Johnson, one of the best impressionists I think I've ever heard. Here's a couple of segments from him on Saturday Night Live over the weekend. They did a thing where it was Laura Ingraham and Tucker Carlson hosting a special that sort of celebrated the war. Yeah, it was the Cold Open. Fox News Ukrainian Invasion Celebration Spectacular with Laura Ingraham and Tucker Carlson. And they had Kate McKinnon playing Laura Ingraham and then Alex Moffat playing Tucker Carlson. And he did a good job, too.
Trump is manning the phone lines himself.
And, you know, the thing about Rihanna is, you know what, she could pull it off, but she could be 9 months. The body's still incredible. It's just ridiculous. But now you're going to have a lot of women. We're seeing this right now. Threes, fours, frankly, trolls wearing the same see-through shirts. And I, you know what, I hesitate to say whales because I know the whales. I'm very popular with the whales. I do great with whales. You know, they come up to me on the beach and they say, thank you, Mr. President. You know, the blowhole's blasting away 200-300 feet in the air. It's how they salute me.
Okay. Welcome back to you, Mr. President.
My favorite food is probably bread, you know, and more specifically, bun. I like bun. Bun is great, especially with respect to burger. And you know what? Now they want to go beyond burger. Can you believe that? I want to stay right at burger. Beyond is not good. Joe Biden has gone beyond burger, and it has not gone so well. And you know what? Neither has reboot of Fresh Prince. It's very different, and I'm laughing, and I'm laughing, and I'm laughing, but I don't know why.
Okay.
And I've got something I'd like to say to Putin as well. Vladimir, I want you to hear this from me. You is smart. You is kind. You is important. And here's a little song from me to you. My funny Valentine. Sweet comic Valentine.
Oh, man, is that guy good? All right, let's get to the showbiz news. The Batman crushed it at the box office over the weekend. $128.5 million in 3 days. Second largest opening since the pandemic started behind Spider-Man No Way Home. That was a $260 million debut back in December. WNBA star Brittany Griner arrested at a Russian airport last month for alleged possession of hashish oil. American officials are worried that Russia might use her as some sort of bargaining chip. Oh, good. Disney Plus rolling out a cheaper ad-supported subscription tier later this year. No word on price, but Disney Plus now costs $7.99 a month or $79.99 a year. Oh, back to Batman for a minute. A new poll says Ben Affleck was the best Batman, followed by Michael Keaton. Voice actor Kevin Conroy came in third, then Christian Bale, and then Adam West. Come on. NBC doing a Survivor knockoff called Million Dollar Island. 100 contestants compete for $1 million during a 50-day stay on a deserted island. No word yet on when that is going to air. Courtney Cox says her dancing in Springsteen's Dancing in the Dark video was pathetic. It's her word. And that she probably only booked the role because they wanted somebody who looked like a fan that just couldn't believe it, instead of a professional dancer. Sting has resurrected his 1985 song Russians because it's suddenly relevant again. 57th Academy of Country Music Awards tonight on Amazon, because there hasn't been a country music award show in several hours now. America's Got Talent Extreme Auditions tonight, 7 o'clock NBC. Late night, Renee Zellweger, who stars in that NBC thing about Pamela Hupp, tomorrow night. She's on with Jimmy Fallon. David Byrne also on that show. Colbert's got a new show tonight. We don't know the lineup. James Corden's got a new show. Paul Dano on with Seth Meyers. There was once a discussion, as we go back to Batman again, it's like every other story we do today is about Batman. There were once discussions about a movie. I remember hearing this. Bill Murray as Batman, Eddie Murphy as Robin. Those talks did not get very far. All right, birthdays today. From That 70s Show, Laura Prepon is 42. Jenna Fisher from The Office and from St. Louis, 48. Peter Sarsgaard, 51. Rachel Weisz is 52. Wanda Sykes, 58. Taylor Dane, remember her? Tell it to my heart. Back in the early 90s, I guess. 60 today. NFL Hall of Famer Frank O'Hara, 72. Peter Wolf, the J. Giles Band, 76. Dr. John Kellogg served the world's first cornflakes to his patients at a mental hospital in Battle Creek, Michigan, 125 years ago today. He thought that cornflakes had some sort of medicinal property. Missed it by that much. David Bowie released his 9th album, Young Americans, 47 years ago today in 1975. Coal Miner's Daughter with Sissy Spacek as Loretta Lynn came out in 1980, 42 years ago today. And Breaking Bad's Bryan Cranston, 66 today. But before Breaking Bad, he had a big, big career.
I want to take you all the way back, because maybe this is the beginning on that shore. We're talking, I think, early 70s here. We want to hear about your big guest starring shot on Chips.
Oh, you're dating me.
You got to work with Larry Wilcox and Eric Estrada.
Man, oh man, I tell you, there was nothing more prouder in my life. I played some hillbilly who, and I literally had a really bad, well, Emmylou, look at us here in Hollywood. That kind of over the top kind of thing. And for some reason, they wrote in that this guy and this gal were on the honeymoon, and they started carjacking, and then they robbed a liquor store or something like. And it's, they gave no explanation as to why they did this. We were just on the run, and we got pulled over by the CHP, and they caught us. And the whole time, it was like, hey, I guess the honeymoon's over. Stupid thing. The gal who played my wife was a woman named Kathy Schauer.
From Playboy.
Do you remember her?
The 33-year-old playmate from Playboy magazine.
Yeah, yeah. And so Eric was just all over her. Was all, it's like I'd never even existed. So you guys want to have lunch? Yeah, whatever. Get away. I think he took her on a very extensive tour of his trailer.
Well, now, see, this is exactly why we book people like Bryan Cranston on here.
Yeah. I'm giving you the stuff, baby.
Yeah, yeah. And you have one of those faces where when people see you, and you first popped up on Malcolm in the Middle, they're like, wait a minute, where do we know this guy? Where do we know this guy? Where do we know? We've seen him before. And the truth is, they've seen you everywhere, but maybe it was Seinfeld, too?
Well, you know, my wife says that all the time. I've seen you. Where have I seen you before? Your face looks very, very familiar.
How cool is that guy, by the way? Bryan Cranston, 66 today. And with that, the J.C. Corcoran podcast for Monday, March 7th, 2022 is in the can. 253 days remaining in our American democratic system of government. We are here every weekday morning right about 7 o'clock, half hour, absolutely free. We archive all of the podcasts. So if you miss one, you can pick us up. Please keep us in the top 10 of all podcasts going on in the country today. That's where we are right now. So continue to spread the word, please. You may email me, JC at JCOnTheLine.com. Facebook, The Showgram with JC Corcoran. Have a great day. Stay dry. Stay warm. And in the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
the J.C. Corcoran Podcast.